Good afternoon, good morning and good evening. Welcome back to A Link to the Cast. This is episode 18. The summer drought is over and A Link to the Cast is back. So thank you for downloading us via alinktothecast.co.uk or even iTunes. Did you notice there, Brian Shelf, I didn't say www.alinktothecast.co.uk?
Thank goodness. I don't know why. That used to annoy me more than anything else when I was editing it, that I always tried to edit it out, but I couldn't. It's just a mouthful. No need.
How long before .co.uk and .coms are gone?
No, they're always going to be around, aren't they?
Are they?
Because the point of www, right, the reason you don't need to say it is you don't have to type it in. It puts it in for you automatically. It's like forward slash and backslash, right? If you put the wrong slash in, it corrects it for you. So there's no need to specify those things. But if you put .com and it's a .co.uk, you can't get to it. So that will always be there.
True. Do you remember the days where you actually had to type in http://www.
Did you ever have to type that in?
Yeah. When they used to give you that on Blue Peter, when they used to give out their website, internet address, that's what you had to do. http://. I remember that well.
Yeah, I didn't have a computer at that point in time, so never really bothered. I don't remember it. I didn't watch Blue Peter either.
Now there you go.
How old are you, Mick?
Not as old as you, birthday boy.
Well, yeah.
Yes, Brian Shelf enjoyed a birthday. We won't reveal which one, but he's beyond the average age of a gamer now in the UK, which is 32.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know
Hang on
that.
A sec, though. Averages are a bit nonsense. Is that the mean or the median or whatever it is? What is it? Is that it could just mean that there's loads of people who are my age and then there's just one two-year-old gamer who's really dragging the average down.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Brian Shelf. This is A Link to the Cast. It's episode 18. My name's Mick. This week I'm going to review Metroid Other M, the brand new game from Nintendo. It's the new reinvention of Metroid. It fits in pretty much after Super Metroid, and I'm going to talk through that and review that later in the podcast.
Hi, I'm Brian Shelf, and I'm going to be reviewing Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, which is downloadable content on Xbox Live.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I've been playing PlayStation Move.
So there's your team. My name's Mick. We've got Brian Shelf, and we've got Rick, and this is A Link to the Cast. Plenty still to come. We're going to do a headline competition as well about a smiling dog, and we're going to talk to Alan Duncan from PlayStation UK about the launch of Move and what it means to the video games industry as a whole. That's all to come. We're going to have a review of it in a few moments' time, but first let's find out more about PlayStation Move. Joining us on the podcast is Alan Duncan from PlayStation UK. Alan, great to speak to you. Thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast.
No problem. You're very welcome.
PlayStation Move. It's here. It's ready. People can go out and try it out for themselves. But for people who maybe haven't seen it, have been living under a rock, just tell us, what actually is PlayStation Move?
Well, PlayStation Move is the new motion controller for PlayStation 3. It uses loads and loads of technology to give you an incredibly accurate and exciting experience, which really takes motion control gaming to a whole new level and really revolutionizes it for PlayStation 3.
Just tell us about the kit, because it's quite a complex little system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very complex. But fortunately, one of the things we're good at PlayStation is making it very simple to use. But effectively, in a nutshell, it uses the PlayStation Eye camera to track the ball, which is the glowing ball on top of the unit, which changes colour depending on the background. And if you remember when you used to see CGI films getting made when they were motion capturing people in studios, you see them covered in balls. Well, it's effectively the same technology as that. It's just that everybody can use it in their home now. So it tracks the ball, it knows how big that ball is, and therefore it knows where it is in the room. And that's combined with accelerometers and gyroscopes in the unit itself. It knows what direction it's going, it knows how fast it's going, and all that technology combined with some great software makes it something that's far more accurate than anything else on the market, and therefore far more fun and exciting to use for everybody.
Yeah, there is a very famous Japanese company which have sort of been dealing with motion controls for, well, it's a number of years now, going on 4 years. How are you able to make this so reactive and so intuitive?
Well, really, just through that technology. I mean, you know, a lot of people say, well, why is it taking you so long? But it's, you know, there's a huge amount of work that's gone into it, as you can imagine, getting that to work and getting it to work at at such a good price as well. You know, we're able to put it out there for just £35. So if you've already got a PS3, then it's almost a no-brainer for you. And really, I think when people see it compared to what's on the market at the moment, you know, seeing is really believing. Because I think when you see it, you know, when you see it on the TV or whatever else, you think, oh, well, it's just the same, or it's just a little bit different. But it's not. It's actually a completely different experience in terms of you can't just wave it around and, you know, throw it and sit on the sofa and pretend you're playing tennis. You've actually got to get up and get involved and put a lot more into it yourself as well. Which can be quite exhausting. Games.
I imagine so. But something we often talk about on the podcast and on the show is that the fact that, you know, when people got a Nintendo Wii for the first time, they maybe played it for, say, 6 months because it was a bit of a gimmick. Yes, we can play tennis. There's still a market out there for people who think, yeah, I want a motion control game. Are people going to look at this and think it's something completely different to the Nintendo Wii? Is there enough point of difference that people are, you know, the wider general game, the casual gamers are going to want to get involved on it?
Yeah, I think those guys that are coming, you know, from another system on to PlayStation 3, you know, there's a lot of other benefits having a PS3, but specifically with PlayStation Move, all the frustrations that you might have had with, you know, simpler and older technology, to be honest, have been addressed, and that's really been the aim of the project, was to make it more rewarding, to give it more of a learning curve, you know, so you don't get bored as quickly, to make it more competitive, you know, and in the future use things like 3D, and also use the network as well. You know, we've got nearly 3 million gamers on the PlayStation Network, and that's a massive advantage as well. So it's a real leap forward, and I think those that really enjoyed, you know, previous systems are looking for more of a challenge, looking for more reward. You know, this is a really natural step up for them.
Tell us about the orb. What did you think when you first saw it?
I thought it looked great. I thought it looked really fun. I think you know, it serves a really practical purpose. You know, and it changes colour, and it's really fun to see and to watch, and it makes it distinctive. You know, and I think when you're doing my job and you're trying to tell people about it, having something that looks different as that is quite an advantage, and really, yeah, really gets people's attention quite quickly. You know, and you're doing it in the privacy of your own home, so hopefully it will go down very well.
Yeah, we're talking to Alan Duncan from PlayStation UK. Let's talk about the games that are on offer, the release titles, and the games that are coming out between now and Christmas, Alan, because I guess when you've got, you know, a bit of kit like this, which can appeal to the wider market as well as the hardcore game, you've got to weigh up the difference between your Killzone 3s and your SOCOM 4s, and then your Start the Parties and the Racket Sports.
Yes. Yeah, Racket Sports is Ubisoft title. We have a title called Sports Champions, which is a range of different sports, and it's probably the one that shows off at launch the accuracy and the skill involved in the game. You know, if you're trying to play somebody at table tennis who's been playing for 3 weeks, you're not going to have a chance, because they're going to have learned topspin, they're going to know how to lob the ball, they're going to know how to cut it, etc. So
it's more than a demo, really. It's more than a demo of what the kit is capable of.
Oh yeah. We wouldn't have released it unless we had some really good titles in the first few months of it coming out. And we've got those. We've got the new ones, and then we've got some great additions to previous titles that we've had as well, like Heavy Rain, which, you know, really pulled people into a, you know, cinematic experience where you decide what happens next. And now, when you take away the traditional controller and you let people control that game with the PlayStation Move, they're even more immersed as well. So it's got a lot of attention for what it can bring to you know, to what people would call more traditional titles as well.
I'm very keen to see how the topless lap dance scene works out. I'll be honest, Alan, on the PlayStation Move, I'm just trying to imagine the hand movements while that scene's going out on Heavy Rain. I'm not quite sure. We'll maybe leave that one to people's imaginations until they get to play properly. If we talk, Alan, about where Move fits in terms of the lifespan of the PlayStation 3, you mentioned just before 3D as well is coming in soon. Where does it fit in the timeline, if you like?
Well, we've always said that it's a 10-year plan for PlayStation 3, just like it was for PlayStation 2, and we're halfway through that. You know, we're 5 years into PlayStation 3 as a platform across the world, and if you remember, with PlayStation 2, about halfway through its life cycle, we launched iToy, and then we launched SingStar as well after that, and then Buzz as well. So, and they really added to PlayStation 2's appeal as well as towards the end of PlayStation 2, having some amazing core games as well, as people really got to grips with the technology. PS3 has been exactly the same for us. And I think with 3D beginning to grow this year and starting to go more mainstream, particularly next year, you'll see how the two technologies really come together. And we're already starting to see that internally in some of the games that are coming through for next year, where Virtua Tennis, actually, from Sega, has been the best example, where the combination of Move and 3D together is absolutely incredible, and will already take people to a place in gaming they haven't been yet.
Yeah, and in terms of where this kit can go and where Move can take the PlayStation 3, what are developers saying to you when they're getting the dev kits and they're saying, right, well, let's see what we can create, and then you're going, right, here's what you're working with. How are they reacting?
They're reacting incredibly positively. I think if you read a lot of the reviews of the hardware, the people are absolutely amazed, journalists and developers, by the potential and the accuracy in the controller, which is why it's so important for people to get their hands on it, and that's really the focus of what we're doing. But yeah, the development community have really come to grips with that, and at the moment, as I said, you're starting to see it in some games that have had it added on, but it's only a matter of time, a couple of months before you'll see games that have really been built from the ground up with this in mind. Focom 4 and Killzone 3, you mentioned earlier, and both of those really use PlayStation Move to bring something new to the shooter genre. And you can't believe that that's actually possible until you realise how accurate the controller is and what it can do.
And before you go, Alan, we often get carried away on the show with sales figures, but we've seen sort of a general trend over the last 18 months that although the Nintendo Wii is still mass market, it's out there, the sales of the PlayStation 3 have been massively improving on a fairly monthly basis. There are people out there now who maybe have got a Nintendo Wii maybe 3 to 4 years ago now, we're talking, in terms of when we get to Christmas, and they're looking for the next challenge, aren't they? They're looking for maybe the next high definition console. Why would they look differently towards PlayStation 3 than maybe Kinect and the Xbox 360? What's the point of difference there?
Well, I think with PlayStation 3, we've always been the premium console on the market, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is the amount of technology in the box and what it allows. And I think over the last 12 months, we've had such great success because people are really looking for value for money at the moment, and really looking when they buy a console or anything that it's going to last and it's going to provide a lot of different experiences and tick a lot of boxes for them and the family or the flatmates. And I think having Blu-ray is really, really important, And Blu-ray has really taken off, and I think the quality of that experience for people who've got an HD TV absolutely blows them away. It's the only place in the home that you can actually get proper HD screen 1080p experience. So Blu-ray movie is really important. The network side of things has really grown for us, and I think the ability to constantly update PlayStation 3 through download has been really important, and iPlayer's a great example of that, and VidZone, and we've got about 4 or 5 services launching later this year that's going to add to that. So people can use it for catch-up TV, they can use it to watch their music videos, store their photos, the hard drive's always getting bigger, so you can store more movies. So I think that all-round entertainment side of things is really, really important in showing value for money. And obviously the games we've had, from Uncharted 2 to Heavy Rain to PlayStation Move, and then GT5 will really be the icing on the cake come November, and it looks absolutely stunning, and it really shows what the power in PlayStation 3 means to people and means to games.
And just finally, before you go, just tell us, for the hardcore gamers out there, the gamers who play PlayStation 3, love the kill zones and such like, what's the moment for you for PlayStation Move where people will get the kit, they'll try it, they'll play it, and they'll get it, and they'll think, this is something for me, this is something I'm going to invest in the future? What for you was maybe the one moment where you think, oh, we've got something here?
Well, I've been a gamer for 30 odd years. Man and boy, unfortunately. At least I'm getting paid for it now. But people play games for competition more than anything else, and reward, and people like to progress through games. And PlayStation Move is the first time you have that experience with motion control. And I think when you hit, for me it was with Sports Champions, and when you're playing table tennis and you hit that first topspin forehand, straight off the edge of a table tennis table. I think anyone's achieve that in real life, which I haven't done for a long time, knows how rewarding that is, and you get exactly the same feeling, and it's absolutely stunning, and it just shows what's possible with PlayStation Move.
and is certainly prepared for all the court actions and libel and court cases in regard to flying wands going through TVs and smashing windows and so on and so forth, because Nintendo had to deal with that for about 3 years.
Yeah, well, when you turn, I mean, you get a hand strap with it that works really well. I certainly cleared every glass off my table in my living room when we started to play it, and that's really important. And you get you get two or three screens every time you turn on a PlayStation Move game to remind you to be careful. So that should do the job for us.
Brilliant stuff, Alan Duncan from PlayStation UK. Thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast.
No problem. You're very welcome.
Okay, yeah, so Alan Duncan from PlayStation UK on A Link to the Cast. Brian Shelf, as our Xbox 360 man, I know you've not been blown away by the possibilities and the opportunities of Kinect, but from a pricing point of view, PlayStation are going for it there, aren't they?
Oh, completely, yeah. And I mean, that's Kinect's biggest downfall. It's essentially untested technology, is Kinect. Well, I mean, obviously they've tested it, but it's not been out there in the gaming world. People haven't been using it. I mean, it's similar to iToy, but, you know, they're making a lot of big boasts about it. And to slam that at us at £130, I certainly, unless they send me a nice free copy, a nice free one, I won't be going out and buying that on day one. Whereas if something's £35... you'd be very tempted.
Well, it's about the bundles, isn't it? Particularly in the run-up to Christmas. You get it bundled with I think I saw in a big-name supermarket which has recently started selling Viagra, I think a 320-gig PS3.
Hang on a sec. It's a big market. I've missed that story.
Oh, have you missed that story? Here's a clue. Every little helps.
Really? They've just started selling it, without prescription or anything? You can just go in and...
Yeah. They're selling it over the counter. You have to go in for a consultation, apparently. I don't think they're allowed to announce that they're actually selling Viagra itself, but I think their announcement was they're selling something like... I don't know if it was a well-known blue pill which can aid erectile dysfunction or something like that. That was the actual statement that they made. But there you have it.
I mean, online, not that I shop around for it online, but online it's expensive, whereas as a supermarket you'd be expecting it to sell it cheaper. Would you pop there if you were a bit hard up? Anyway.
The general gist of what I'm getting to is that there are offers to be had there. If you want to bundle Kinect with an Xbox, you've still got sort of a big outlay to make just getting hold of the Xbox console in the first place, whereas the PlayStation 3, it's almost really just bundled like it's any other game at £35 a time.
Yeah, and that's perfectly reasonable. I mean, Kinect, it's... I can't believe... I mean, Microsoft, traditionally as well, when they've had hardware out, they've sold it at a loss. I mean, PlayStation have really sold it at a loss, but Xbox in the early days was selling at a loss because they wanted to sell some software on the back of it. At a price point of 130, I mean, I still find that hard to get my head around. It's just bizarre. I certainly won't be going out and buying it on day one.
And of course, if you haven't actually got the PlayStation Eye camera, which you need to play with PlayStation Move as a controller, it's still only £50. In fact, I've seen it in the stores for £40 as that starter bundle complete with a disc of demos. So that's, you can't argue with the value there. I think that's a really great price point to be setting this new peripheral at.
Hang on then, so I'm getting confused. So you get the Move thing for £35, but you've got to buy a £40-£50 camera as well?
No. You get a Move controller and the camera for £40 or £50.
Right. Oh, that,
but,
that's
you need
still
to have
great.
The camera in order to detect, that funny coloured blob on the end of the Move controller that looks so bizarre.
The orb,
but of course,
on the
some people may have already bought the camera beforehand to play things like the Eye of Judgment, that card game where you put your cards on the table.
Nobody
and the creatures
that game.
Are summoned on it. I don't know. I think a lot of kids did. It looked pretty big.
Hmm.
They brought out 3 expansions for it, so they must have sold well.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, Rick, sit on your review for now because we're going to talk about a couple of other things first before we do that. I forgot to do the headline competition, so here it is.
Oh, brilliant.
Right, basically, this is a story, and the way it works, I come up with a story related to video games, and I ask the team to come up with a headline. So if it was to appear in the tabloid press, what would that headline actually be? Today's story is about puppy love, because a new study has found that children under the age of 6 often believe that a dog, when baring its teeth, is smiling. Yeah. Okay. And of course, the fear is that actually it's about to bite the child and they don't know it. So the story goes that a video game is being created whereby children under the age of 6 can be taught about whether or not a dog is smiling.
What? This isn't true. This just isn't true. That's just depressing.
I've got a report here. Scientists say misunderstanding results in thousands of children being bitten each year. They've created an interactive DVD to teach children when it's wise to leave dogs alone. So essentially, it's one of these games that you can play, and you will find out whether or not a dog is happy or if the dog is going to kill you.
Cool.
Okay, so if that was to appear in the tabloid press, as it may well do first thing tomorrow morning, what would the headline be? Play along at home, don't enter, it's not a competition, and you won't win anything. This is a link to the cast, loads of reviews still to come. We're going to talk Metroid Other M, we're going to talk PlayStation Move, and Lara Croft and the Something of Something. Righty-ho, so the summer drought is officially over. Oh, summer was rubbish, was it not, Brian Shell, for video games? So frustrating, so many things that you want to play, so many games and opportunities that you think, oh, they're coming maybe October, November, and into next year, but you just get the sense that, oh, I just want them to come a little bit quicker.
Do you know, I've been playing my console quite a lot, just catching up on old stuff. I went through and finally finished off all the DLC for Fallout 3, which is just incredible. Finished off the bits and pieces in Grand Theft Auto 4 that I hadn't finished off. A game that I'd absolutely avoided because I thought the first one was really boring, but everyone kept saying it was brilliant. Assassin's Creed 2, stuck that in. That's not been out of my console since then. Still not quite finished. Must have 30 plus hours on it. Excellent game, incredible, really good. Perhaps not the most challenging, but you know, quite varied and lots of different things going on. Very impressive to look at. And the DLC for that as well that I'm just cracking into. So my summer drought's not been too bad.
And I think that's when the Wii becomes an issue, because when you've got DLC and added extras, it's like when you get a DVD, you watch the film once, but actually you can go back and watch the extras that might be, you know, in total, maybe 3 or 4 times the length of the actual film that the extras are related to. I know you're a big fan of the Lord of the Rings extras, but actually hate the films themselves.
Yeah, never seen the films, except with the director's commentary on.
But with the Wii... you miss out on the extras, the downloadable content. So where you can go, you know what, I've had maybe 5 great games that I played, and guess what, here comes the extra stuff. With a Wii, it's almost like, well, you know, I've now got to wait for the sequel for that to come out. It's a little bit more frustrating when you're a Nintendo fan, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, my Wii doesn't get switched on that much anymore, to be honest. You know, the last game I was playing on it was, excuse me, I'm going to belch. Oh no, it's all right, it's gone. The last game I played in it was Super Mario Galaxy 2, which I didn't get. Well, you know, it was all right, but I raced through it and didn't find it exciting enough to do the rest of it. And that's about it. Even Guitar Hero now doesn't really get switched on that. Oh, I've gone back to playing Galaxy Wars. That's really, really good. Just like an intense shoot 'em up experience, because I downloaded for the Xbox 360 again more DLC Res HD, which is really, really good, a game I'd never played previously, but that's fantastic fun. So yeah, the Wii is now just getting relegated a little bit in the corner. I realized I'd actually had it switched off for ages because I switched it on the other day and then the slot started going blue.
You got a blue light and then actually nothing interesting to download at all.
No, just an update to the menu that didn't seem to actually do anything. But there you go. Yeah, poor old Wii really needs to make an effort soon, or we need a new one.
Just sticking with a couple of news stories then on a link to the cast. This is episode 18. Yes, 18, and we're in 2010. Christmas nearly upon us, so we're going to have plenty of podcasts between now and the new year when loads of great games companies are trying to peddle all the games that they're bringing out. Good and bad, it has to be said. As of next week, Rick, the PS3 is to get 3D Blu-ray support. Yep. 3D, PlayStation, that's all part of the plan, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, for the last couple of months, they've been rolling out a number of 3D updates to some of the downloadable games they've already had. And, you know, by far and away, the best thing that I've seen in 3D on the PS3 has been Wipeout. Wipeout 3D just looks unbelievably brilliant. And again, it's because of that kind of detached gameplay that you've got. And I think that's why Kid Icarus was one of the first titles announced for the 3DS. It's because the main thing that you're looking at, the character in Icarus and, of course, the craft in Wipeout, isn't actually attached. So it can actually levitate a lot better and it just looks beautiful in 3D. It really does look like it's floating in front of you.
You know when you see a film in 3D at the cinema and you think, actually, that's great. That was a good film to see in 3D for whatever reason, be it Avatar or something like that. You then have a whole host of films which are in 3D for no reason whatsoever. For instance, Toy Story 3 in 3D was completely pointless. It offered absolutely nothing extra. There's got to be a quality control, hasn't there, from developers to say, you know what, this doesn't need to be a 3D game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And certainly that was what I was thinking before I saw Little Big Planet 2 in 3D. And regular listeners to the cast will know just how impressed I was when I saw that at E3. It's just, I just didn't get how the two-dimensional platformer nature of the game was going to relate to actually having a 3D TV. But it's because of the layering involved, and it really does spring out. But of course, everything that you've seen now, you guys may have seen on 3D tech demos or whatever, It's only Sony stuff that has actually come out so far in terms of 3D demos. So, yeah, like you say, the quality control, that's going to be a real trick once third parties start getting involved. And, you know, it's something we're only going to see once somebody can shell out for a 3D TV.
I don't ever think quality control is ever going to be an issue for the industry. They've never really had any up until now. And I mean, particularly on the DS, it's not as if there's it's really hard to get hold of some absolutely shoddily thrown together pieces of cynical tot. The thing is as well, I'm like a marketeer's dream on this, though, because I will pretty much go and see any film if it's in 3D.
Yeah,
that's great for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly what's wrong with the industry. And you're the exact reason why they'll continue making films in 3D that don't need to be in 3D, because people will spend more to go and see it.
There was a sequel to Mega Shark versus Mega Octopus, wasn't it? And they've, I don't know, Mega Piranha, is that one in 3D, I think I heard?
Piranha was in 3D.
Actually, yeah, that might be
the original Piranha was in 3D, wasn't it? And Piranha 3D is the one that's out this summer with Kelly Brookin in 3D.
All great films, I'm sure.
No, genuinely they are. Kelly Brook is, she's nudie pants in it.
Talented.
Yeah, and there's
You're a fan of Kelly Brook, aren't you?
Yeah, who's not a fan of Kelly Brook?
Me?
Oh, well, you're not. Why?
No, what's the big deal?
She's just got curves in all the right places.
Well, you know.
Cut a beautiful silhouette, there's no doubt about that.
Yes.
I've never been...
And that's
I've
how
never
I like
been,
to view it, in silhouette form.
I've never been overtly swayed by women with excessive busty substances. It's, you know, it's just, it's all packaging and no content.
Excellent. Speaking of all packaging, new Halo Reach was released. This has got nothing to do with packaging, has it? Halo Reach was released on Xbox 360. Massive TV adverts, big push on it. Seen Xbox 360 sales increased 99% in the last week. Impressive. Brian Shelf, I know you were the first in line to pick up this next Space Marine classic.
Oh, do you know, it's two things really that, well, three things that I'm not really interested in. Speaking of Kelly Brook, two things I'm not, no. First of all, Space Marines. Secondly, first-person shooter. Third-person's miles better. And the other thing, heavy on story. And also Xbox, you know, it's playing other people, you know, where else have you got the opportunity to go online and be immediately killed and never have any chance whatsoever?
One thing that really annoyed me with Halo Reach, and it might be a packaging angle for you, Mick, is the way they basically rebranded everything on Xbox. You switch on your Xbox now and everything is covered in Halo Reach. It's just like all of the highlighted videos, they're all Halo Reach stuff. All of the DLC that it wants you to buy, it's all Halo Reach stuff.
Yeah, but
I hate the bloody thing. I can't wait to...
But your 360 is set up there for Microsoft to be able to just jump into it and be able to do that. God. That's exactly why they offer you these, you know, the setup at the beginning with your characters and your screens, because that's actually what they want to do. They want to infiltrate your personal gaming experience.
But a little bit of variety would be nice. I know you were saying it's been a bit of a lull in games releases over the last month or two. But Jesus, just because one AAA thing's come out doesn't mean that everything on my damn Xbox has to be to do with it. It annoys me anyway. Yeah, can't be bothered with it.
Rick said damn. He's not been angry for a while, actually.
Yeah. Also, as well, are there any AA titles? I want to know how this goes. AAA is good. It's like no one ever goes, it's a AA title. It's better than most, but it's not the greatest.
I think I'll have one for you next week.
What's that?
Oh, you sure?
Oh, no,
it's
no,
Dead
no,
Rising.
Dead Rising. Dead Rising 2. Excellent. Right, we'll talk about
I downloaded the free trial. You know, the free prequel demo, they haven't really corrected any of the problems of the first game. It's really a I just don't get it. I do not get the fever over Dead Rising.
I played the first one. I just didn't get it, and I really wanted to. But you know, we'll come back to this next time.
Excellent.
My brother absolutely loves it, but I kind of tend to use the games my brother likes as a yardstick for games that I will not like. I mean,
is he a Halo fan, perchance?
No, he's not a Halo fan. Oh, okay. He seems to like things that don't really have any great gameplay, but just have big backstory.
Games you can't play.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of an example of something who's picked out. You know, everyone has their own taste in stuff, so that's fair enough. But yeah. I think I realised that when he goes on about Dead Rising so much, and I was like, well, you don't really feel like you're in control of it, and you're doing the same sort of stabbing things over and over again. It's just boring.
Well, we'll talk about that in episode 19 of A Link to the Cast. How about that? And we can talk about your brother some more. Maybe his fandom in terms of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, anything like that you want to throw in.
I don't know if he's such a big Buffy fan as he used to be.
Maybe. It's not been on TV for 15 years, so possibly so. That's Brian Shelf. We've got Rick as well. And Rick, it's time for the review of PlayStation Move.
All right, PlayStation Move. So it's the first of the kind of Wii catch-up peripherals that are coming out to the true next gen consoles, and you know, anybody that's seen it already will know what you're getting. It's basically,
did you just hear that, just a little bit of Playboy of PlayStation 3 fanboy coming in there? The true next gen consoles.
Well, let's be honest, where's the processing power in the Wii?
But a little bit of the Wii innovation to the true next gen consoles. So the people who did something completely different revolutionized the industry,
as you guys were saying
now
before,
the true
completely
next
missed
gen
out on the
consoles.
Whole DLC side of you know, the way that online games were going to go. They innovated, but you know, they also got left behind
this
in other ways.
This is an ideological argument, I think, which is probably for another time. Right. So let's move on. Let's talk about this new bit of kit from PlayStation.
You know what you're getting when you see PlayStation Move. It's basically a funny-looking controller with a weird, flashing, multicolored blob thing on the end, and you have to use that in conjunction with a PlayStation Eye. I think if you go on the record, if you were to look back about a year ago when it was first announced, I was one of the more vocal critics of it then, just saying I don't see anybody buying what was at the time a peripheral to a peripheral. I mean, you need the PlayStation camera before you could even start it. But you know what? It actually works really, really well. Your Move controllers are easily as accurate and sophisticated in detecting your, you know, minor rotations or just slight adjustments in the way that you're gripping or moving your controller, easily as good as the Wii Motion Plus. And, you know, that's a £35 controller rather than having to go out and buy, like, one single remote and then an attachment for it as well. The problem obviously comes, and this is what I think you guys were saying about the Wii even, it's about having good games. You know, you're not going to sell a good peripheral, no matter how great it works, if you haven't got good games. Now, the first few, you know, the starting lineup for PlayStation Move is a little bit lacking. There's a few good pieces in there, and they use different aspects of the Move combination quite well. If we're going to start off with the basics, the obvious games which are going to come out for it, the likes of Start the Party. It's your basic party game in the kind of WarioWare mold. You've got like 20 mini games to be honest in this title, and it's
only three of them that you would ever play.
Probably, you know what? There's a few more of them, maybe about 10, about half, that are actually worth the effort. There's a few good ideas, though. Because it uses the PlayStation Eye camera, it can put your image onto the screen. And obviously, because it's got the colored ball on the end of the Move controller, it can detect exactly where your hands are, and it can overlay graphics onto that that colored ball. What that means is that when you see yourself on the screen, all of a sudden, in your hand on TV, there's a paintbrush, you know exactly what you've got to do. Or say you see yourself holding a flag and there's some guns appearing off the side of the screen just coming on, you know what you've got to do. It's a very great, intuitive and, you know, refreshing way to play. It's obviously something that's a little bit obvious for kids to get involved in, and that really is where the market for Start the Party as one title would be. There's a few games which don't quite work so well. There's one where you're holding a mining pick and there's a big rock. it desperately needs like a graphical patch, because it's just, it just visually does not work properly at the moment. But the motion sensing and the implementation of PlayStation Move throughout Start the Party.
All right, then. I'll tell you what, Rick, you've given me two gimmicks there. It's a paintbrush, so paint the screen. You've given me it's a pick, so break some rocks. Give me a game. Give me something which people are going to want to play and go back to.
Okay. Well, there's I said I'd start off with the obvious titles, and the next one is perhaps the single most obvious title, Sports Championship. I think it'd be fair to say that Wii Sports kind of is what the title that made Sony and Microsoft kind of wake up and say, actually, there's something in motion controls here. Because as soon as everybody saw your nan playing tennis, you know, just saw how easy and obvious and simple and fun it was as a game, you can't ignore that for long without, as Brian was saying, getting left behind, you know. So Sports Championships, it is the Wii Sports title for PlayStation Move. There's 8 sports on there. Bocce, which is kind of like a crown green bowling, which sounds rubbish, but it's actually really addictive. There's your archery, and that's one of the great titles or games that you can use 2 PlayStation Move controllers if you want. You don't need to use 2, but it gives you a better experience. You know, you hold one up as the bow, another one as the string, and you aim them just like you do on the Wii, it's got to be said. Other titles of games on there, Frisbee Golf. Again, I think there was a Frisbee thing.
Yeah, you can do that on Sports Resort. Yeah.
It's really good to see these next-gen consoles copying titles that are sometimes between 2 and 5 years old.
Yeah, this is the point I was making earlier, you know. It genuinely works brilliantly, PlayStation Move as a control scheme, but the games... There's only one game which I think kind of uses it in a way that I haven't seen on the Wii, and that would be Ubisoft's next real-time strategy game, Ruse. I don't know if you've seen it on the Xbox, but obviously it's the scope of it is you've got a real-time strategy where you play from the board, the tactical board, where, you know, your generals are saying, right, I want these units to go there, and you can zoom in and out and actually direct, micromanage each individual unit if you wish, or come all the way back out and manage the whole grand scheme. And the way it uses the PlayStation Move controller is really just like a mouse. It kind of keeps it simple. So you use a trigger button, which is on the underside of the Move, to say you want to do something with the camera, and if you rotate the Move controller, it will rotate the camera. If you move it up and down, it will zoom in and out. And if you use another button, you can basically navigate around the map. So, you know, it's a great way of using, you know, a new piece of technology in quite a simple way, but it works really quite well once you get the hang of it.
How do you see that going forward, though, or will it end up? Because what you've noticed with the Wii, more than anything else, is particularly in the in-house titles, is they're actually using the functionality of the controller less and less.
Exactly.
You know, even on this Metroid, the later one, you know, they've actually got rid of the nunchuck. So it's like, you know. Will there be any great innovative new uses, or will it just be, hey, the new Harry Potter game, you can use it like a wand.
It's amazing. Yeah. Well, you know what, I've got obviously some hope, and I mentioned Little Big Planet 2 before, but if there's a game that will innovate, then that'll be it. Because the whole, you know, custom level creation, even game creation in Little Big Planet 2, that's going to bring a whole new angle to what you could even dream about using the Move controller for. What do you mean, how?
How can you do something different with a wand now that you can't already do with a control?
Well, I'm just saying that they'll be able to mold games around the Move controllers in a way that maybe we hadn't seen before. You know, Little Big Planet...
It's a platformer, therefore it's better played with a controller.
No, but it's not. That's precisely my point. Little Big Planet 2 is more than a platformer. It's a game which allows your users to create, yes, platform levels as well, but you can actually create entire games in Little Big Planet 2. That's the big hook. That's the way that they've made it a sequel. Make platform levels if you want, but you can make sole game experiences within it using the engine on it.
Frisbee Golf or maybe a tennis game within that. I don't know.
The thing with Little Big Planet is, like, when I first played it, I mean, on the surface it looks like a platformer, but when you actually get into it, it's so much less.
You said that before. No, brilliant. My point with Little Big Planet 2 is it is a... I found it a really enjoyable platformer, the first one. And I thought the freedom of level creation was quite liberating, really. And the fact that there's been, I don't know how many million levels published, and there's still a community going on, there's still weekly updates for Little Big Planet, fresh content, you know, it shows that there's a community out there who are innovating and using it to design their own levels. in Little Big Planet 2, you don't just design levels, you can design actual games. So you can make, you know, your shoot 'em ups and things. And, you know, if we're going to look at other titles that are coming out for PlayStation Move, Time Crisis is an obvious, you know, title that will use it, because the whole duck and cover system and the shooting system. Then, like I said, Little Big Planet 2. I did have a list before it came out.
Well, I'll tell you, in summary then, I guess what you're saying, Rick, is it's okay to, it's interesting, but it's a case of what might be in a few months' time, possibly. Yeah. What would make you stop playing, though, on PlayStation Move?
Dead Rising.
Repetitive
2,
strain injury.
To be honest, Dead Rising 2. And this is the point that you were saying about the Wii earlier. As great as PlayStation Move works, and it does really work, and there's another game I was playing, Kung Fu Rider. It's a really well-implemented use of the Move system, but ultimately, when you sit down and think about it afterwards, it's just a game where you're trying to pat your head and rub your belly or do the opposite. You know, you just basically got to remember which gestures you need to do what you want to do in the game. It's a very frantic and silly game. But really, do I want to play that? No. As soon as a proper game came through the post, Dead Rising 2 for me, I haven't played PlayStation Move properly since.
Excellent.
So
well,
while
I'll tell
it
you
works
what,
amazing, a proper game will always win.
We'll hear your Dead Rising 2 review in the next podcast. For now, though, that's PlayStation Move, which is out and about. You can get it for a range of different prices from your local supermarket or toy store or wherever you want to check it out. My review is Metroid Other M, and people who listen to the last podcast will know that over the course of this summer, I've really struggled just to get excited about the sort of games that are out there, because there's been very few, particularly for the Nintendo, and you sort of get a sense the Wii is probably not a million miles away from entering its final throes. Metroid is a big name title for Nintendo, and Metroid Other M takes the game back to its roots. Now, many people will have played Metroid games in the past, particularly from the GameCube onwards with the Prime series. I wasn't, and I'll say this from the start, a big fan of those. I found them a little bit repetitive, too much going on screen, too much scanning, not enough sort of action for your money sort of thing. So I went into this with a fairly open mind, because it's a big change. Now, people who played the old SNES Metroids will know the Super Metroid side scrollers. Now, this moves the game from 2D to 3D, and then it's gone back to 2D with some 3D elements as well. The first thing to say is the controller. It's just the Wiimote, and you use it with the left and right, jump and shoot. That's all you've got when you're running left to right and you're basically on a spaceship and you're shooting aliens. That's the general gist of what's going on. That's in a 3D format, so you're playing that like a 3D platformer in some way, although it's within a 3D environment. What you can do, though, is if you just turn your Wiimote to face the screen, you instantly go into a 3D mode. So the whole level, the entire game is rendered in 3D, but you're playing it from a 2D point of view. So it might be you're running along a platform, you take out three or four aliens, you get to a viewpoint, you then turn the remote round, look at the screen, and you can look around. You might find maybe a hidden element. You might find where you've got to go next. You might see other sort of team members. You might find something that you do need to do a little bit of scanning or to take out with a missile or something like that. In that respect, it's absolutely sort of, it's innovative, very innovative in that respect, and actually works really well if it's a little bit, I want to say the stunty is the word I'm trying to think. It's not quite as free-flowing. So if you're in the middle of a boss battle, you might do sidestep, 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 shoot, but then you might want to go into sort of first-person mode. But then it's just the slight delay you've got there and the fact that you can't move when you're in third-person mode that creates a little bit of a problem. Does it work? Yes. Is it a little bit annoying? Yes. But can you get away with it? Probably. Graphically, looks excellent. Really good. One of the best sort of games for Wii. You really get a sense as well from the loading times as well of what the Wii's capable of.
Yeah. Can I just jump in there, though? And this is going to be mildly hypocritical of me here, because I came round to see it at yours, and you've been saying, oh, it looks really impressive. It looks amazing. And for given the fact that I've spent so much time playing on my Xbox now, I have to say, I was underwhelmed by the graphics. And I think this is the point that Rick was making before.
Yeah,
is that unfortunately now Wii graphics just don't cut it anymore.
Yeah. But I think for people who are fans of Wii's, they'll look at it and think, oh yeah, this is at least what the Wii is capable of doing. I tempered that by saying, you know, the Wii is probably entering its final throes. So the graphics for me are good for, if I say then, good for a Wii game. Gameplay is nice. The bosses are particularly quite hard. They always have been in Metroid games. They can be a little bit annoying in that respect. and sometimes you think, oh, more of the same type of bosses. But actually, there's plenty of in there in terms of sort of puzzle elements, of sort of acrobatic, aerobatic elements as well you've got to achieve with different power-ups and so on and so forth. It's quite good. From a story point of view, though, oh, yawn. They've tried to give Metroid, Samus Aran, this character who has always just been a silent assassin travelling around the galaxy killing people, they've tried to give her a backstory. So there are so many, particularly at the start of the game, cut scenes which give you a backstory, which tend to start with, it was only when I got to the Space Cadets system that I realised that Andy wasn't quite the guy I thought he was going to be. It's a little bit like that. I don't know. It's there. You can get on with it. But to be honest, just ignore it, probably. Most people... Go on.
Yeah, it's like playing on Assassin's Creed 2 at the moment. There's loads of backstory in it. And essentially, these things can all be boiled down to, it was only when I did this that I realised I had to go there and collect this. That's it. You would never get away with that in a film.
No, absolutely not. And there are one or two sort of good set pieces in it, which I've really enjoyed. And I think the overall experience of the game is good, but I think it's mainly down to the fact there's nothing else really out there on Wii at the moment that would possibly tempt people to go out and spend money. It's a little bit different. The 2D to 3D works for me quite well. You can see a lot of investment, or there's a lot of development in there as well, I think, and I quite enjoyed it.
What would make you stop playing?
What would make me stop playing that game? I would say possibly some of the boss battles are a little bit too long, and they're not too long in that, you know, you're working on a boss, you're wearing him down, and it's taking ages. It's almost like you might be hitting him in the same zone five or six places and you're thinking, I'm doing something wrong, and then eventually something happens and you think, well, was I supposed to hit him 10 times in whichever zone was flashing at the particular moment? So a little bit like, you think, maybe give me a little bit more, you know, make them bigger, and, you know, let me take off, you know, shoot off arms and this, that and the other. So the boss battles a little bit frustrating, but overall good experience, you know, a decent length game as well. There's sort of maybe 16-17 hours in there as well, which for a Wii, not bad at all, and overall a good experience. And let me say this, you don't have to have been a Metroid fan in the past to enjoy this game. I'm guessing if you were a big Metroid fan, you might not enjoy it quite as much, but check it out anyway, because there's very little else out on the Wii, so why not give it a go. Okay, so our final review in this podcast on A Link to the Cast is I was going to say Tomb Raider. It's not Tomb Raider, though, is it?
It's Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. Piece of DLC for the Xbox. To be honest, it's been a game of two halves, this for me, which is I first downloaded it, started it up, looked at it and went, oh, no. because it's not what you're used to in Tomb Raider. It's not strictly isometric 3D. If people don't know what that means, it's sort of a fixed looking point where things look 3D, but it's actually 2D sort of put together. It's sort of done in a diamond perspective. If you think back to Head Over Heels on the ZX Spectrum and Night Lore and stuff like that, that's classic isometric 3D. And I just thought, you know, I don't know if I can sit through this. Just again, going back to, you know, the Wii, I've moved on in the world of graphics now. I demand a bit more realism. Anyway, then I actually thought, well, come on, Brian, someone's giving you a copy of this game. You've got to play it. And it's very good. It's really, really good. If you actually lower your expectations of what a game should be graphically, it's actually a nice little fun sort of action puzzler. It's basically a Dungeons Temples game, basically. You're going around collecting things, opening doors, solving puzzles. There's baddies to fight in a sort of very one button way. And it actually passes a lot of time. It's quite cleverly put together. As you move further up the dungeons, you can see bits that were in the background and you kind of get clues of what's going to happen in the future. There's kind of enough hidden objects. It's great for that, and it massively surprised me. I think it's let itself down graphically, but I think they kind of knew that. It looks like the sort of game you play on a PSP, basically. It's that kind of level of graphics. But it's actually really, really enjoyable, and there you go.
It's interesting that you're talking about a Lara Croft Tomb Raider-type game, and you're asking people to lower their expectations. Given the quality of the recent efforts from Lara Croft, that surprises me. But what would make you stop playing that game?
All sorts of things. I've been going on a bit of a download frenzy at the moment. Res HD that I've been playing a lot at the moment. Very good.
Okay, so episode 18 of A Link to the Cast drawing to an end. We are back now after the summer drought, though, so keep downloading us via alinktothecast.co.uk or subscribe via iTunes, and we will keep appearing in your inbox very quickly on the inbox via the Twitter feed, twitter.com/alinktothecast. I put on happy birthday to Mario. Got a reply from Steve Cal, who says, have you heard they're somehow putting him in Corrie tonight? I don't know how, but their PR assures me it's going to happen. Did Mario appear in Coronation Street? That couldn't have happened.
No, well, having played Assassin's Creed 2, there's a nice little nod where a character called Mario introduces himself as he goes, because they've got Italian accents, he goes, it's me, a Mario, which is it's quite nice.
Lovely. Excellent. This is me, JB, says, your Pope jokes need work. Yes, I kept tweeting really bad jokes. And Louise Martin 25 says, the last podcast, best one yet, ! So thank you very much. Twitter.com/alinktothecast, or you can email us via the website, alinktothecast.co.uk. Just time to wrap up with our headline competition. The story goes like this. A university says that children under the age of 6 need to be taught whether or not dogs are smiling through the use of a video game, so they know in real life whether or not a dog is in fact smiling or whether or not it's actually going to bite the child. It's a DVD interaction thing, and if it was to appear in the headlines in the papers, what would the headline be? Brian Shelf, we go first with yourself.
Yappy, chappy, happy or snappy.
Yes, nice. I like that. Ricardo?
I just got Grim Bull Terrier.
Grim Bull Terrier.
Grim. I just scrambled a few bits down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you didn't get much time, to be honest. That's but that is truly appalling.
Yeah, I just think someone's going to go straight away for Nintendogs, which will be a really boring one, but I preferred Xbox 360. Xbox 360th.
Again, no mention of dogs there. You've never worked in newspapers, have you?
It's about teeth.
Yeah, but there's no mention of dogs. You've got to... You see, the basic rule of a headline is it has to contain all the elements of the story in it.
Right. So, okay, well, if I go away and come back, maybe it's part
of
the next
podcast.
But then
again, I suppose none of us really got, other than me.
Well, you didn't. Grimble Terrier. Crikey, that was the worst one I've ever
heard. Yeah. No, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying... It was all a bit flawed.
Right, that's the end of the podcast. We'll be back very soon. Loads of stuff coming up between now and Christmas. We'll get Rick's review of Dead Rising 2. That's still to come. Brian Shelf has been, well, we'll be playing New Vegas very soon. And we're waiting on a brand new Professor Layton title. Anyone who listens to the podcast will know that we've been big fans of it in the past. There's going to be loads of stuff coming between now and Christmas. So keep downloading us and we'll be with you very soon. Bye.
Which one of the various knobs are the ones to turn the headphones up?
Probably far right-hand corner, and there'll be an actual little knob. It'll say headphone or monitor.
Hello. Sorry, someone popped in to speak to me, so I stopped listening to you.